basketball. Hear the proud Slovenian call. Feel the heartbeat of our soul.
Infamous, you heard of us. Official
review.
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 Official.
Review.
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 Official.
Review.
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 What's up, internet? It is the Upon Official Review Podcast back in action. We got a special treat for you guys today. We got a little NBA roundtable, a little Sixers roundtable action. And not only are we bringing back Mr. Friesberg, a.k.a. Mr. Freeze, but I have got two guest stars, including one that's a Knicks fan, so I know you guys can feel for him. But also, my man in town from L.A., Mr. Johnny Loquasto. Am I saying that right?
That's close enough.
All right, cool.
We'll take
it. So, Johnny is comedian, host.
Struggling Sixers fan.
Exactly. That's struggling Sixers fan. He's a celebrity extraordinaire. He rubs elbows with pretty much everybody.
No, usually I accidentally bump into him. That's usually the closest I get.
But the thing about it is, I saw him at Helium over the summer. What do you say?
June, I think it was July? the end of May.
Okay, end of May.
And I'm sorry. End of May. I don't know. May, June, whatever.
One of those times. And I realized that we had a mutual connection because he said he used to work at the Chili's.
Oh, I have a bit about working in chain restaurants.
Yeah.
And I mentioned because I worked in Chili's. All through, I went to college in West Philly. I worked at three different Chili's in Pennsylvania, maybe four, I forget.
Wow.
And one of them was on 38th and Chestnut,
yeah,
above,
man.
Club Wizards.
Club Wizards, yeah,
which I
man.
I think is probably nine different names since.
Probably. I think it's Atlantis?
Oh, yeah, it's a great name for a strip club.
Exactly.
Yeah. Come to the Mecca of Atlantis.
Anyway, my ex-fiance used to work there, so I used to be there all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
And now, what year are we talking? Because I worked there.
At the strip club or at the Chili's?
Right.
No, at the Chili's.
Well, if you would use
good question.
Here's the thing, though. If you would use the restroom at the Chili's, you felt like you were in the strip club.
Yeah, that's
like if you
right.
stood at the urinal, you would hear like the pulsating. You'd hear like, "All right, coming next to center stage." You're like, "I'm gonna stand here for a while."
Yeah. Get
your. But I graduated in 03 from University of the Sciences, so. I basically worked at the Chili's from 2000 to 2003, off and on.
Yeah, she was there because we broke up in 2004.
Uh-huh.
So I know she was there in 2003.
Okay.
Maybe in 2002 as well.
Man.
But I'm pretty sure that you're the only dude she did not hook up with. Or maybe, maybe you just don't remember.
There's only one girl I remembered, and God, I hope this is going to get weird if it is. I did go on a date. I went on a date with one girl that I met at that Chili's, and she was a beautiful, light-skinned black girl.
Oh, God.
That's not her, is it?
Yes.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No.
There's only one of those.
No.
Yeah, there's only one of those.
But she was pretty and light. She had green eyes.
Where did she go to school?
In Pittsburgh.
Oh, no.
Okay. So
no, this chick, I thought, went to University of the Arts.
Okay.
You thought she lived with a guy with dreadlocks who was very artsy.
No, that wasn't me. I never had dreads. Okay,
so I know it wasn't you. Right. Yeah, and obviously that was her. Like, she had a roommate. It was her roommate, not like her the guy or whatever. We went on a date one time. We had a good time, and I forget her name though. But there's no way that was your girl because this was in like 2000 or
yeah, that was before she moved down.
Cool.
So, all right. Woo!
All right, the podcast can continue.
She got around that restaurant.
No way.
So, absolutely, she did.
So just so I'm clear, Johnny, you were the one guy that did not see her awesome blossom.
No, I did not. No calories were pointed in this direction. Can we get a picture of her? Like, maybe I'd recognize her. You don't have.
Yeah, we could probably bring it up.
All right, cool.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. Maybe.
So she was a light skinned black girl, is what you're saying?
She was.
Okay.
She was. She was mixed.
You know, chain restaurants have a habit of being incestuous like that. Like,
they do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's really weird.
I knew one dude at the Chili's on City Line that infected half of his staff there with chlamydia. Or
no. Was he a cook or a server?
He was a server.
Oof.
Yeah, I'm not even playing. Like, everybody has syphilis.
Dude, the movie Waiting, it's not that far off from reality.
Really?
Nah, you ever see that one?
I waited tables for like 3 months, and I definitely saw a lot of that, like, drop it on the floor, put it back on the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I definitely saw that stuff.
And the cooks are all just, I mean, my first restaurant job, I worked with like three guys who had prison work release tags on their bag. I mean, and the cooks were always hilarious. Like, if the cooks were Mexican, they would just talk shit in Spanish to you the whole time.
Yes, I definitely dealt with that. what's the word? The
Bendejo.
Yeah, like to say that. There's another one they like to say.
Can I have some fries? Fuck you, Bendejo. Okay. I don't need them.
So anyway, let's do some quick, like, not just introductions, but, okay, you know, where can we find everybody on the internet and whatnot. Josh, you want to go first? Do you have a handle or anything like that?
Sure. Josh Asplon. You can find me at Twitter at the Great Void.
The
two the's.
Double on the. All right.
Nice squared.
Cool, cool. Dan, who's to my right? Dan, give us a little intro.
Yes, so I'm Dan Friedberg. I'm a blogger at forrealgm.com. You can find me at Dan Friedberg, and I currently write a series for them called The Bright Spotlight.
Nice.
When I profile various teams in the NBA, usually the ones that don't get a lot of national media coverage, or you won't really find a lot on them on your ESPNs and whatnot, and I look at what's going on with them, reasons to be hopeful and optimistic about the team, and I have various articles up there, but there's one up there right now on the Orlando Magic, and you can follow me at Dan Friedberg.
Nice. If you watch ESPN, you'd think they only had the Lakers and the Heat in the true NBA.
Yes.
Two teams. John, give us tell us where we can find you.
At Twitter, at JQuasto, the letter J, Q-U-A-S-T-O. And also, I have a new pro wrestling podcast coming out next month. I can't say what network it's on, but it's a network you've all heard of. I just don't want to jinx it because comedy and wrestling are both shady industries. You combine the two, and then who knows? So follow it at Wrestling Buds, Wrestling B-U-D-S. And I'll be on Dr. Drew On Call on January 7th again. And, all that. That's good stuff.
Nice. And as always, my name is Ari, a.k.a. Magnum. You can follow me at Official Review, uponofficialreview.com, Facebook, /officialreview, all that good stuff. So that's going to do it for the intros. Gentlemen, let's talk Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much, Josh, you'll have input. I'm sure you may have some barbs you want to throw our way. But, let's talk, you know, what's going on to this point in the season. We're, a quarter way through the season now? Yep. About
that, yeah.
Almost to the All-Star break in a month or month and a half. So to this point, is this season pretty much what you guys expected? 8-20. 8-20, yeah. What do you think?
It's about what I expected, yeah. I mean, I feel it's weird to be in a situation now where I actually root for them to lose every game.
Right, exactly.
And every time. You know, Evan Turner had that game winner over Brooklyn the other night, yep. And yeah, it was an exciting moment.
Yeah.
But I understand there's no, you know, it's just a fleeting thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's okay. It's a great moment, but I think everyone knows we're taking the long view here. And you know, what can you say? I mean, I would feel a little bit more comfortable if they were at the bottom. I want them to lose. I wanted them to go 0-82 this
right.
season.
Right,
I
right,
give themselves right. absolutely the best chance to nab one of these blue chip prospects
yep.
coming out. But, yeah, I mean, obviously Michael Carter-Williams has been a huge surprise. I think everyone's really excited about him.
Absolutely. Nobody saw that coming.
And Brett Brown looks like he's a really good coach, and he's good at developing these guys.
Just about to say player development, yeah.
The Boston accent is awesome.
Give us your Brett Brown real quick.
Nolan's Noel, he likes to wear those tight shirts. And he's got a great body. I think if I had a body like him, I'd like to wear those shirts too, so I'm proud of him.
I'm trying to help develop a jump shot.
Yeah, the jump shot. And he runs, if you see the guy run, he runs like a deer.
I love Brett
he just
Brown.
Runs around in circles like a deer.
I love Brett Brown. So, yeah, man, I like where we are. I agree with you. I like to see them be a little bit worse.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they kept Michael Carter-Williams out longer than he should have with that quote-unquote knee infection.
I'm okay with
yeah.
it. And I'm with you guys. I'm disappointed we don't have a few more losses. At the same time, I like to see Evan Turner being aggressive. I know we're going to get to this. I think he's one of the guys they should sell high on right now this season
mm-hmm.
as he's his rookie contract's expiring. But on the bright side, they started off 3-0, and now they're 8-20, which means they've gone 5-20 since. And there's only two teams that have a worse record in the league right now. I believe it is Milwaukee and Utah.
Right.
So I have faith that Milwaukee and Utah – well, Milwaukee, I don't know. Utah does.
They should get better.
You would
Milwaukee,
think.
Milwaukee, right?
You would think.
Larry Sanders is out. Larry he's going to come back.
He's back. He actually – I think he came back last night.
Did he? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I heard rumors that they started – that bar fight that he got in was on purpose, so they could lose games.
So we need to get some Sixers and bar fights. Spencer Hawes, get out to the bars and toss a few back and get something going for us.
Well, you know how you get in a fight with Spencer Hawes, talk politics.
No, oh, really? Is he conservative or what?
Staunch. Oh, I do remember him talking about Romney on Twitter.
Yep.
When Romney was running for election. Yeah, I do remember that.
Huh. Jesus.
Yeah, we'll have to plant somebody and be like, so, who are you voting for?
Yeah.
Although, getting Spencer Hawes kicked out of a game doesn't necessarily guarantee you a loss.
That's true.
I mean, you might actually want him in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Go ahead, Josh.
I was just going to say, as an ex-diehard Sixers fan and not following the past year or two, it's really surprising to hear that.
So wait.
The subtraction of Spencer Hawes would be a negative thing for the team.
Well, let's sidebar here. You've adopted the Knicks?
I've adopted the Knicks.
Why have you done that?
I'm a diehard Sixers fan my entire life. Basically, in the midst of the Bynum debacle, I decided I just couldn't do it anymore. I've lived in New York for over 8 years. The Knicks have been a hard team to root for the past 8 years.
I was going to say, you jumped from a sinking ship to a ship that's already underneath the water.
Still on fire, somehow underwater. Oh.
They were very inspiring and fun to watch last year.
Yeah, the last 2 years they've been decent.
Literally every year since I've been in New York, I said, this is the year I'm going to be a Knicks fan. Mm. And then I watched them play, and there was no way I could get behind that team. Just, you know, and I finally felt like they had a team that I could get behind, so I became a Knicks fan, and I adopted them really quickly as my favorite team. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Be honest, did you have, like, an Asian girlfriend, and then she wanted to watch Jeremy Lin play, or?
Yeah, pretty much.
God, they are a mess. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know how any general manager of a basketball team can believe in Carmelo Anthony at this point in his career. Like, I just don't understand. Like, it's amazing how people look past common sense. The dude's never going to be on a winning team. He's never going to be a number one guy. Why would you put money invested in him?
We talked about this. I talked about this with my cousins, and I talked about you guys a little bit today. He's just a ball stopper. He doesn't seem like the offense ever flows when he's in the game.
He's never going to change. He's kind of like Iverson was. You knew Iverson was never going to change, although obviously Iverson was more of a passer and more of a point guard.
And Iverson got to the finals.
He did. Yeah, but Anthony's never going to change who he is, and I don't think anyone's going to ever enjoy playing with
him. They got him to play a little bit of defense last year, which was interesting, but he doesn't play defense at all either.
He's averaging close to 10 boards a game. I'm watching all these games, and I'm seeing him play, and I can't put the blame on Carmelo for what they are this year. I mean, he's doing his best, and that's a different argument what his best really means. But, I mean, he's passing out of double teams really well. He's doing everything he can as a player. He just has the team that he has around him is just absolutely terrible right now.
I actually agree. I don't think you put the blame on Carmelo. I mean, he's still, I don't know where he is.
Call him elite until he wins, though, right?
He's never going to be number one.
What is he, second, third in the league in scoring? You know, that's not any easy feat.
Right.
And you have the Knicks making trades for guys like Andrea Bargnani. Like, that's going to help the team.
But he's kind of a volume scorer at this point, too, isn't he?
Career lows across the board. He was sixth man of the year last year.
That's true. He's playing really bad. What's going on with that?
They're not developing their young talent. They had Iman Shumpert has fallen off.
Nothing.
He was going to be this young defensive stopper.
He has really fallen off.
And, there were talks about them trading him and trying to unload him. I mean,
you got to look at the coach.
I think you got to look higher than that. Yeah. I mean, it's really the executive decision making. Woodson has shown to be a good coach in the past, but he's made some seriously questionable decisions and cost them games.
He really has.
There was the Wizards game,
the non-timeout.
Where they didn't call the timeout. There was the, as Josh called it, the three heard around the world. That was Bargnani. Granted, that's not a coaching decision, but they're just these end of game decisions where it's costing them games or almost costing them games. And the defense isn't there. Hopefully Tyson Chandler comes back now, and that helps them out a little bit.
I feel bad for Stoudemire, too, man. I remember watching him when the Suns.
I don't feel bad for Stoudemire.
He used to be so good, though. I just hate to see, a guy get injured and never, return.
Well, he was another guy that never really played defense, either. To his size.
In Phoenix, he did. I mean, he defended his position.
No one played defense in Phoenix.
I mean, when he had to, they were the 7 seconds or less, but he played solid defense. I wouldn't say he was never,
How do you play solid defense as a four above the free throw line?
Well, he played a lot of center there. They made him play a lot of center. Mm-hmm. He was playing a lot of five, and there were a lot of good centers.
I will say about Amari is that he's made the most of his minutes. I think, he's handled it as a person, as a professional. He's handled it better than anyone could imagine, going from literally the face of New York basketball for basically just a year until Carmelo came in there,
right,
to going to a guy playing 20 minutes every
other
game.
Exactly.
He's a shell of himself.
He's handled it well from a personal standpoint.
Professional standpoint.
And to be honest with you, when he's out there, he is being efficient. I mean, he's scoring efficiently. He's making the most of his minutes. And, yeah, he is a shell of what he used to be, but, you know, for 25 minutes a game off the bench, it's not a bad player to have.
He could do worse.
No, he could be a good six man, in a sort of non-traditional six man role. Yeah. I mean, I know we all think of like your Jamal Crawfords and until recently J.R. Smith, your combo guards that come in off the bench. But I like seeing when you have a six man, like a big six man. Remember Lamar Odom used to come in?
He used to play that role.
I always thought, getting back to the Sixers, I always thought that would be Thaddeus Young's best role on a contending team.
Yeah, because he can score.
You know, I love seeing those big guys come in off the bench.
And I think Thad can be, this is what I would choose to keep him over Evan Turner. Because I think Thad Young could be a piece on a championship team, whereas Evan Turner, I just think he's too much of a, he just needs the ball too much. I think Evan Turner could put up numbers on a bad team like he is right now.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's ever going to – I don't think he's a better fit. And I want to love Evan Turner. I really do.
We all did.
Yeah, but I think Thad Young is so unselfish. He's such a good guy. He fits in to any role that he needs to be. And I think that's – he's worth keeping.
I agree.
You know? He's worth keeping. But getting back to what you said about Evan Turner and selling high, I actually think they missed that window already.
Really?
Because
– He's having his best season.
But the numbers are falling.
But they fell off in like the first 2 weeks of the season.
When he was averaging 22 points a game and
shooting 50%
and getting to the line, but those things are falling down.
We all knew that wouldn't last.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not lasting. And the bad body language is back. The complaining to the refs. He's not getting the calls. He's standing there and shrugging and not getting back on defense. And I'm just over this guy. I mean, I have defended this guy from the day we drafted.
We tried.
Every possible excuse. Oh, he needs the ball in his hands. Oh, Doug Collins isn't putting him where he needs to put him.
Yeah.
At a certain point, he is what he is. And it's hard to say. It's sad to say that at 25 years old, that Evan Turner has actually reached his ceiling in the NBA. But he right now is the best I think he's ever going to be. In the NBA.
It kind of is like,
if you can get a first round pick and an expiring deal for him, I would take that.
Oh, I would a heartbeat. You think in a heartbeat,
would
get take that?
I would take a late first round pick.
Yeah, I heard. You know, going back to, you know, we're going to talk about this anyway, but like potential trades, potential moves.
I heard a guy,
Oklahoma City.
What?
Because Oklahoma City doesn't care about their draft picks; they're going to be drafting super late anyway, and they kind of need it too.
And they're a championship team every year anyway. So.
Yeah. You know, I mean, because is he better than Jeremy Lamb right now? Probably, right?
Yeah.
But Jeremy Lamb provides that floor spacing that, you know, that they need, and Evan Turner just doesn't do that.
Turner's
a hell of a rebounder, and he's not a bad passer. He wouldn't be a scorer. He wouldn't have to score for that.
That's true. He doesn't have to score.
He'd be him. Almost like an Iguodala type role.
But would be happy in that system. And
he better be on a good team.
Gosh darn it, yeah.
If he bitches about that, then I got nothing for you.
I don't think OKC makes that chat. I don't think they're interested because, you know, I think in the beginning of the season there was that uncertainty. Like, where's the extra score? Where, you know, is it Serge Ibaka? Is it, you know, Kevin Martin's gone? James Harden's gone? But Reggie Jackson, he stepped up. He's that guy now. And it's not. And it's a distant memory. And I think they do actually really value draft picks in that system because they know that
they've done it right.
Yeah, they built that team through the draft.
Yeah,
and they're slowly bringing along guys like Jeremy Lamb and Perry Jones, and I think they always have a keen eye on the future.
All right, so let's talk about
what about a guy?
Okay,
who just happened to be drafted a few choices after Evan Turner 4 years ago?
Please don't say Paul George.
No, not Paul George, because we know that he's not going anywhere.
Right.
There is a guy who's had a little bit of character issues who this year is putting up beast numbers. In Sacramento.
Oh.
There's been talk about him. I think he's been working with Kareem.
Shaq.
I'm sorry, Shaq's been working with him.
Really?
And has gotten his head on straight. Like, Shaq has told him, like, I've seen interviews with Shaq where he's like, I just tell him, just calm down, don't overreact. And this season, yeah, Sacramento sucks. They always do.
Yeah.
He's putting up Shaq-type numbers.
Since Jason Williams and all the other...
Yeah, dude. DeMarcus Cousins is averaging like 22 and 12, a bunch of blocks.
Is he really?
I'm not kidding.
He's putting up that high.
Crazy numbers this year. I mean, if you mash him up against other... And I get it, it's a bad team. But man, he's good. Yeah. I don't know if they want to trade him. I heard they still can't stand him, but I don't know.
The stats are there, and they're not going to trade him. But the stats are there. The leadership is not. Yeah, I mean the guy's not a professional. I mean, there have been multiple incidents this year, not like years past where he's getting coaches fired left and right. But, you know, there was the incident when they played the Clippers, and he wouldn't let Isaiah Thomas shake Chris Paul's hand.
Yeah, that's
he
right.
was like, no, I'm mad. I'm not going to shake his hand, therefore you can't shake his
hand.
Yeah,
that's pretty bad.
There was that, he had the hard foul on J.J. Redick. Put J.J. Redick on his behind. And then J.J. Redick gets up and he says, yeah, we're cool. And he extends a hand to him, and DeMarcus Cousins like looks at him, get away from me. You know what I mean? So you still see that.
Nah, girl.
I mean, I guess some people like that sort of competitiveness, like that fire. But if you're trying to really elevate your team, I just don't see the professionalism. I mean, yeah, he's going to put up big numbers.
I'm just saying, would you take him in a trade for Evan Turner?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
But that's what I was saying. There's rumors about maybe an ET for Cousins trade, which I know will never go through.
Who's starting those rumors? Philly media?
Probably.
Sacramento would never go for that in a million years.
I would
not
know.
In a million years.
Yeah, I don't know if the Sixers would want to add that personality. Not to this young team.
I mean, you look at the Atlantic Division, period. Man, what front office has done the best? I mean, Brooklyn, a complete train wreck.
Yeah, I still call him Jersey now. Oh my God. Billy King. Can we talk? Oh. Billy King.
How does he have a job?
Yes.
That's the Billy King team right there.
He ruined the Sixers. He is ruining the Nets. How does he still work?
I have no idea.
It's like he's like when Ed Wade ruined the Phillies for a while. It's like, how does
he got another job?
Well, Ed Wade helped get the Phillies a World Series from Houston.
Yeah,
we appreciate.
He really did.
Let me defend Billy King for a second, even though he's the king of signing aging veterans.
Please defend Billy King. Yeah.
You know, let's just, like, it doesn't look good now, but in the offseason, when they
in
made
the
that,
off season.
Well, in the offseason when they made that Paul Pierce and Garnett trade,
they thought
I still thought that was a bad idea.
Really?
If you watched the Celtics play last year, you could see that Pierce and KG were just shells of themselves, and I just thought, like, I think personally Rondo's a better point guard, especially with those two players, than Deron Williams is, and I just didn't see them being any better than the Celtics were last year, and they're a lot worse.
All those guys are on the downside. You look at Deron Williams. Joe Johnson, Brooke Lopez is out for the year now.
He's not on his downside. He's just unfortunately having injury problems.
Right. Yeah. But Pearson Garnett. I mean, you looked how miserable they were the day they got traded. They couldn't even pretend to look happy at the press conference.
Yeah, they couldn't even do the lip service. Like, God, but thanks for my time in Celtics. They were flat out like, I wanted to be on this. I wanted to retire. They were upset. And I'm just waiting for like the first time that Paul Pierce tweaks an ankle or something, and he's just like, I'm out. It's really
I'm
bad.
Done.
I'm out for the year.
How funny is that beat, that Dre Beats commercial now with Garnett?
We watched that last night.
That's a couple seasons too late, because now he is watched that.
Yeah. Well, that's a really sad commercial. It
really is.
He's getting paid. It's all right. He's getting paid.
He's cashing him checks.
But I mean, look at the Atlantic Division. On top of the division, we have the Raptors at 11-15. This division is what Charles Barkley talks about. Last week he was on Dan Patrick, where he goes, man, basketball is just so bad, right? And like, I have to look to try to find a good game to watch. And people ask me about the NBA. I can't stand the NBA, right? And you look at the Atlantic Division.
The division is a dumpster fire.
God almighty. 11-15 in first place are the Raptors. I mean, I guess you could say they've done the best job as a front
team?
Office.
DeMar DeRozan and...
They just traded for Grievous Vasquez. Have Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry's these players.
Giannis Valanciunas. They got Terrence Ross playing starters minutes now. So they're starting to develop their young guys. And
good for them.
You know, with Masai Ujiri at the helm, you know that there's a forward-thinking vision. And unfortunately, the Leastern Conference is so bad that tanking, might not be an option for them at this point.
Ultra tank.
Well, the funny thing is, people talked about how the Celtics are trying to tank. They had 12 wins, so like they're not in danger of getting a super top pick.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Brad Stevens is too good of a coach to...
That's what I was worried about Brett Brown. I was like, he's got these kids playing too hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the Sixers are going to blow it and not get a top three pick.
That's what I was worried about
too. Now it's like they're... still good.
Talking about coaches, I know there's a lot, not to bring it back to the Knicks, but there's a lot of talk about how is Woodson still have his job, just like you're talking about. And it's because of the Atlantic Division and how it is right now. It's that I think there's a lot of thought. Everyone knows the Knicks are terrible. There's not a single person in New York City that doesn't think the Knicks are absolute trash right now. But I think the thinking is, and the rationale is, if they fire Woodson, and it's kind of like, oh, this year has just gone to shit. But I think their thinking is that the Atlantic Division is so bad that if they can really just bring it together and kind of just play halfway decent ball at some point for the rest of the season.
But what's the point? To sell tickets?
As a Knicks fan, from that perspective, it's just kind of like, the fourth seed is legitimately in our sights, and we all saw the way that they performed at the end of last year. It's the same team. Mm-hmm. Who knows? They get that new fair style. I mean, that's what I was talking about.
If LeBron gets hurt, they're just the spraying. Pull Tanya Harden, just break his, you know, have somebody hit his in a knee. Yeah.
Are people going Smith to the Knicks?
People go to the Knicks.
They're still sold out.
They're sold out there. When Isaiah Thomas was running the helm, and they were the, you know, legitimately the dumpster team of the league. They were still
sold out. This is the night out, though.
You know what I mean? He was grabbing ass and...
Yeah. I mean, if anything, the Knicks need James Dolan and the front office. I think if anything, they're worried about, well, we need to at least show that we can put a competitive team on the floor so that Carmelo doesn't even think about leaving for the Lakers or think about leaving for wherever. We have to think about making a move. You know, there was an article that just came out saying that the Knicks are hoping that Rondo forces a trade out of Boston to go to New York. I mean, I think they are sort of, they have to show Carmelo that, look, you know, yeah, maybe this wasn't a great year, or maybe they make first round playoffs and get bumped by the Heat or something like that. But
now that team is intriguing to me. If you put Rondo on a team with Carmelo, what do they do then? Yeah, because Rondo makes the offense move.
But there's still no one that really truly understands why the Knicks are so bad. That's what's weird about it. You look at the team that they had last year.
What? Actually, tell me this real quick. Don't you see a lot of standing around when the Knicks run offensive sets?
Well,
it's just Melo standing there with the ball and the rest of the team just watching him. It's really weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it works when he has someone to pass it to that'll make an open shot because he creates a lot of open looks. The problem, the difference this year between last year is that no one's hitting those open shots.
That's true.
J.R. Smith is shooting. It surprised me when I looked it up to see that he's shooting like 33% because it feels like he's shooting like 15%. I mean, he's playing bad. You know what I mean? He's like nothing like the J.R. Smith that we've ever seen. I mean, Bargnani's been kind of exactly the player, you know, we all thought he would be, like, decent offensively, kind of streaky, but, you know, a complete just retard on defense. And, yeah, it's just like...
Do they play him at the same time as they play Chandler? They play him at four, I guess?
Or... When Chandler's been able to play, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just...
How long until he's back?
He's back.
He just came back.
He just came back.
Wait, Tyson Chandler's back?
Yeah, he's back. Yeah, he's back. Wow!
He played on Christmas.
Is he getting any minutes in yet, or...?
Yeah, he's getting his minutes. I mean, he's still a little rusty, but, you know, it's not transforming the team overnight, but... You know, the hope is that they'll get some sort of cohesiveness as a group, as a unit. J.R. Smith will find his shot somewhere, wherever the hell he left it, and that they can make a run in the playoffs. And who knows? They can be, you know.
I mean, I'm looking at the entire Eastern Conference. There are three winning teams right now.
That's
unheard of. Yeah. And there's a good chance there will be no more than three winning teams when the season's over.
I read something on Grantland that said, to this point in the season, it's the worst winning percentage of any division or any conference in any league to this point in the season ever.
Why don't they just
football? Any seriously, like the winning percentage, the combined winning percentage when they did that was like 390 or something like that.
I think that brings us to an interesting point. I think you're going to really start to see the conversation change about having some structural changes,
doing realignment,
doing away with divisions, just having Eastern Conference, Western Conference, and then taking lengths to prevent incentivized tanking. Because
we're
seeing it because GMs are smart, fan bases are smart, and you know the Sixers are the perfect example of that.
Yep.
And we're seeing it more and more. People are looking ahead to the draft, saying, oh, this is a stacked draft. We should just clean house and try and be terrible this year. And more teams are doing that this year. And unfortunately, you know, it's how the league is structured. And it makes the best sense to build your team through the draft.
If we can talk about
a team like New York that can attract free agents.
Yeah, we can talk about this in the next part of the podcast, because I want to talk about if that's going to change how teams start to build teams in the future, if they're going to start doing more analytics, if it's going to be more about shooting percentages and less about athleticism and selling tickets and stuff like that. We'll take a break in a minute, but real quick, let's talk potential Sixer trades, moves, because I feel like Hawes or Young is going to go somewhere.
I want to say this idea. What if the Eastern Conference got rid of the 8 teams for the playoffs and the Heat and Pacers just did a best of 15?
I love that idea.
You know what I mean?
Best 8 out of 15. I love it.
Just because why? What's the point of watching Oh, I don't know who's gonna make it. The Bobcats versus the Pistons.
Yeah.
In a wicked best of five.
I actually like the Pistons.
Pistons are fun to watch. They're not gonna win anything. You're right.
And I feel like Brandon Jennings started the new trend, which is off the glass alley oops, which I don't know why we haven't seen more of over the years, but they are amazing.
Yeah, he does a lot.
Wade had one to LeBron on Christmas.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic.
It really is. That's an all-star game. You only see it in an all-star game.
But
before.
It makes sense. If you have a defender trailing the one defender, if you have two on one, it's an easy way to get it up away from the defender.
Yeah,
is it an assist, though, or not?
It is an assist. Is it an assist? Actually, I'm not sure. But it
should be an assist. Tell me this. Do you know any players on the Bucks?
I know plenty of players. Yeah.
Who?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You know how to say his name. You're the first person who can say his name.
I don't know if I'm saying that.
I just call him the Greek freak.
Actually, Brandon Knight just came back, and he's starting to put up some monster numbers. I picked him up in fantasy off the waiver wire.
Really?
Yeah, I think that Mayo's on that team.
OJ Mayo is on that team.
Nate Larry Walters, Sanders. Another rookie.
Yeah.
John Henson. They got some guys.
They're 6-22.
They got some guys.
And they need to start winning some ball games for us, as do the damn... Oh, the Jazz are up to 8 wins. We'll take that. That's good.
Trey Burke apparently is back, right?
Trey Burke's playing. He's playing well. He's starting.
He was out a long time.
He's
starting
to make a push for Rookie of the Year. Although I think MCW is going to win out ultimately.
But will he play enough games? That's the question. Because I have a feeling the Sixers are not going to shove him. Any chance they can sit him? Did you see how many times he's been sat for random things, infection?
He was hospitalized for that.
Was he though?
That was a legitimate. Yeah, that was a legitimate thing. Like it was a weird fluky thing, like a skin infection. That sounds weird.
How do you even get that?
I don't know. They got to update the training facilities or something.
Yeah, or maybe just...
They're just sticking rusty nails in the...
Yeah, just hoping. MCW, look. We're proud you got a triple-double, but sit!
Yeah. Just chill out, man. Build some... I think he needs to fill out more. Like, I'm a physical therapist, and I look at him, and he's too wiry to be healthy for his whole career. He needs to put some kind of weight on him. Like muscle wise, where his knees
won't cave on. Anthony Davis brought like 20 pounds of muscle.
He needs to, and of course he got hurt again, but it was his hand at least.
The difference is Anthony Davis was 19 when he came in the league, and Michael Carter Williams is 22. He's
22 or 23, right?
As thin as he is.
Yeah.
But he's still, yes, he is. He has like a slight frame, but I'm still impressed with how he's been able to defend.
Oh, he's great.
Some of the other point guards in the league, and how he looks. Just how he looks out there against. Fully developed guards.
So let me ask it this way: Who's not on the Sixers at the end of the year? Besides the fact that their contracts are expiring, we trading Spence, we trading Thaddeus, we trading Evan. Who's going and where potentially?
I don't want to see Thaddeus go. I really don't.
Yeah, you want to keep Thaddeus?
I do.
Town?
You know what you said about Thad being a piece to move forward with. I wholeheartedly agree with. I love him.
I don't think the Sixers are that far away. I really don't.
I agree. In this conference? Yeah, absolutely. A couple years. With this draft? Absolutely.
They are very far away.
With this draft coming up? Next couple years?
Yeah, but you don't know. I mean, look, there's a lot of bad teams in the league right now. They could end up with like the 6th, 7th pick in the
draft.
No,
they can't get it. They will not get any worse than the 4th pick, I bet.
Being said that, having that said, I can't even talk today. Yeah. Thaddeus Young is he's entering the prime of his career, and it doesn't matter who they get in the draft. They're still going to be a few years away. Look at the Pacers of last year. They built that team. They built their core. They got Paul George. They got Roy Hibbert. They got Stevenson, and they have their core. And then they went and beefed up their bench over the summer and went out and got guys like Louis Scola. That can be done much more easily at a later date. I don't think you start with a guy that's, like your bench guy. If you can move him and help a guy that's going to be part of your legitimate core moving forward, you move him. I love that too, just like I love Jrue Holiday. But I understand the necessity for that trade.
I totally get that trade. And Brett Brown, I guess, has been working with Nerlens Noel on he's changing his whole shot. Because Brett Brown's kind of a shot doctor. And so even though Nerlens he's running now and all that stuff, he literally, apparently every single day is changing his shot and teaching him how to be at least a mid-range shooter, which if he could add that in.
If he had a 15-footer with his athleticism, yeah.
Dude, we're going to have a decent starting center for years to come, especially with the centers in the East. I mean, we keep forgetting we have Nerlens Noel that'll be fully healthy next year and hopefully with some weight on him.
He can be good in a couple years.
Brett Brown says he listens. He's a good kid to coach, and that's all you can ask for.
He wants to be good. He's the anti-Andrew Bynum.
Right. Out of a 19-year-old kid, that's all you can ask for. And plus, he doesn't have – granted, he tore his ACL. We know that. But he doesn't have... The problem with Andrew Bynum is, at 270 pounds, if you ever look at Andrew Bynum, he's got genu valgus, meaning his knees cave in.
Yeah.
And that's... You can't change that. No. All your pressure goes to the inside of the knees. And that's why when the Sixers traded for him, I remember I live in L.A., and I called up Max and Marcellus that day. They were talking about how great it would be for the Lakers to get rid of Bynum. And I called up. I'm like, hey, dude, what about the Sixers? We don't want him in Philadelphia for multiple reasons. And Max was like, that's a good point. Like, you know, of course we traded for him anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think he's going to have the knee history that Bynum did. He doesn't have as much weight on him. But, yeah, we have him coming back. I think we can agree that we'd rather trade Evan Turner than Thad, right?
I think Evan Turner goes.
Yeah,
I think he's the one that goes.
What about Spence? Are you going to get traded?
I think Evan Turner just walks at the end of the year. I don't think they have. I don't think
that's entirely possible too. Well, you said who's going to be on the team? Who's not going to be on the team next year? And I think he might either if they can't. I think they'll try to trade him if they can't.
Do you
find
think
a good deal for him? Then I think they just don't re-sign him at the end of the year.
But here's my question: if they know he's going to walk in the year, why don't they just get anything they can for him?
Because they might have to take back salary that they don't want. You know,
that's the only thing you don't take. One, take back.
I mean, let's take a second round draft pick for him at this point.
That's awful.
He's averaging 19 and 7.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to fetch a first rounder in this.
No, the second round pick is worth nothing in the NBA.
Don't tell Sam Hinkie that. He values those picks. And but I don't think. I think they already have 2 second rounders in this draft. I don't think they.
What do we have? 3 first-rounders, 2 second-rounders?
I think they might have 2. I think they have 2 and 2.
They have 2 and 2, I think, yeah.
Does that count? Does the New Orleans pick count?
Yeah, including the New Orleans.
Because isn't that, like, protected via...
Top five protected, which...
They will not be in the bottom five of the league,
so...
No.
So, that's... We're getting that pick.
Oh, good. See, I thought it was protected if... I thought it was protected unless they made the playoffs. So okay, good. So we could have a top 2 top 10s.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think you're probably look with the Pelicans pick. You're probably looking at 10 to 15 range, like late lottery. But regardless, I mean it was quite a, if you look back at that trade, it's quite a haul for Drew Holiday.
No, it really is. That was a great move. That was selling high. Absolutely.
Because he may never be an All Star.
That's true. He may never be an All Star again.
I looked. He's shooting barely 40% this year.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Drew Holiday, and he's a great point guard. But it's just, you know, you look at the guards out west. I mean, he's not getting in the All-Star game over Curry.
And we talked about this.
Chris,
he would have made the All-Star team last year, were it not for injury.
And let's not forget, we got Nerlens Noel for him too. Yeah. Who apparently, I mean, even if Nerlens Noel turns out to be a 12-10 guy who blocks shots, all right.
Yeah, I'll take a guy that can block shots and affect shots in the paint. Those guys are pretty rare in this league.
Now, you might know this. What's left on Thad's deal? Is money an issue as to why they want to get rid of him?
He signed through the 2015-2016 season, but he's for like $9 million.
Yeah, he's so relatively
inexpensive. It's a reasonable contract, but you know, you look at a guy. I think the problem is there are other guys in the league, other vets, and for other rebuilding teams like I know this because I just wrote about the Orlando Magic. Aaron Aflalo is averaging 21 points. He's 10th in scoring in the league.
And he's good.
He's on $7.5 million for the next couple of years.
Yes, they got a deal with him.
That's cheap.
They certainly did, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's also going to come into play with Evan Turner because the team probably looks at, well, I'd rather have Aaron Aflalo than Evan Turner.
Even though Evan's on his rookie deal yet.
But he's going to be a restricted free agent at the end of this year, so he's going to be looking for money.
Yeah.
So here's my question. So say the Sixers trade Thaddeus Young. He is probably their highest contract left on the books, right?
Yes.
Right now.
Yeah, he's their longest because Spencer's expiring and Evan's expiring.
I think everyone is, besides that.
Well, you have all the rookie guys, you know, they're on their contract.
So are they obviously the Sixers are they want to build through the draft. They're gonna have 2 top 10 picks, fingers crossed. Are they interested in signing 2 max contracts? Do they have that in the cap? Sounds like they would.
They could. That's not 2 max guys.
I mean, they have. I think they're.
Who would come here?
They have
among the
lowest salary payroll in the league right now.
Yeah, they were beneath the salary floor when he started, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know they'd fill out 12 guys. They should have done the invincible thing and just let any civilian try out.
They really should have done that.
But the point, I think the point. I mean, if they are, I doubt targeting free agents is on honestly even entering into Sam Hinkie's mind at this point because
wait another year with LeBron.
I mean, you have to see how this draft goes. You have to see how your players develop. And if you get to if the draft gods smile upon the Sixers and then they get the number one pick and take Andrew Wiggins or Jabari Parker, you know, that's a different conversation.
They're a definite 1-2. We could agree to that. I think
we can talk about that later if we want.
Yeah.
You know, you still need to give a good season or two to those guys to develop, and
definitely,
honestly, then it'll start to look, then the team becomes appealing to free agents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you, if you want, you can, you know, what I've read some people want to do is, you know, swing for the fences on Kevin Love in 2015.
Well,
I can go for that.
I mean, the last thing you want to do is pull off like a Joe Johnson signing. I mean, give a max deal to a guy like that.
Yeah,
no, well, they wouldn't. And you have to.
I think they're smarter than that. Hopefully.
I mean, you know, you can only look at Sam Hinkie's track record so far, and the reason that people criticized the New Orleans, the Pelicans trade for Jrue Holiday was they thought it was a premature cash-in move. Like you're giving up a lot of future assets to trade for Jrue Holiday and then signing Tyreek Evans to that massive deal. So you're basically saying we're going to go in with this team moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think that Hinkie would want to, commit like that.
I don't blame him.
So
I don't think they're going after free agents this offseason.
So you think next year they're also going to be incredibly under the cap as well?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, or you know, somewhere near the salary floor. I mean, this is, you know, the slogan of the Sixers this year is "Together We Build," and that doesn't happen in a year.
It happens in a couple of years. All right. That being said, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll go around the league like 15 more minutes. Just talk about some of the Western Conference teams that we haven't talked about at all. Talk about potential draft picks, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll call it a show. All right, you guys, stick around. This is the Upon Official Review Podcast, which is the last word in Philly sports. Stick around. Now, who can stop me? I'm in the zone. Competition's none in a league of my own. All about the W. I'ma bring it home. When it's over with, I'ma be the king. Shut the throne. I'm in the zone. I'm in the zone. The competition way. Tell them let's get it on. My hustle game crazy and I'ma finish strong. You threw up so many bricks, you probably could build a home. I done came a long way. This is what the grind make. Everybody want the shine, don't know what the shine take. You mad that I'm playing? Call it sideline. Hey, it ain't over till it's over. Buzzer be the mind state. If I ain't in the zone, then what you call this? They ask me how I do it. Right, let's do it. Tell them all risk. Yeah, it's true. That's
I just think it's a marriage made in marketing heaven, though. This, Kevin Love to the city of brotherly love.
Boom. Oh, yeah.
Blue collar guy.
He would kill it here in Philadelphia. Yeah. You're right. Welcome back to the Upon Official Review Podcast. It is an NBA edition, Sixers NBA. We are talking hoops, and it is time to talk about the rest of the league. We'll go around and we'll talk about who we feel like are our surprises this year. Who are some of the disappointments, you know, who's looking good to us this year. During the break, we talked about the Trailblazers. We talked about LaMarcus Aldridge. Portland looks really good. Right now, they have the best record in the league. Is that right?
I think they're changing it with OKC.
Yeah, they both have 5 losses, I want to say.
23-5, I believe.
Yeah, they look really good. So who's their coach now?
Terry Stotts.
Where's he from?
You know anything about him? Stottsville.
Yeah.
Stottsville, that's Scottsdale.
Somewhere in Washington.
Yeah, okay. But, yeah, they look really good. Damian Lillard looks really good. Portland's a great basketball town, too. So it's good to see a town that supports their team.
Portland's a very young, hip town, and it kind of fits their team. Like, yeah. And they've had talent for – I can't say they're a massive surprise. They've had a talented team for a while. They've had a lot of injury problems. I think – Phoenix is way bigger of a surprise for me than...
Yeah, let's talk about Phoenix. Phoenix is playing amazing with Dragic and Gordon and Plumlee.
Don't forget Lopez.
Lopez on Portland, actually.
Is he?
Yeah.
Robin Lopez is
starting center for Portland. Miles Plumlee starts.
Miles Plumlee, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Plum Dog Millionaire.
Is that what they're calling him?
Yeah, Plum Dog Millionaire.
That's a great nickname. I'm glad to see he's doing well.
He was a throw-in in the Louis Scola trade.
He really was.
And he's starting for them thanks to some, you know, injury to Emeka Okafor. I mean, I think the thing you got to keep in mind about Phoenix is that, you know, over the summer, everyone was talking about what Phoenix and Philly were doing as the two most blatant.
They were going
tankers.
To be, yeah.
They were the
32
most
and 31.
And Boston was up there with getting rid of their guys.
Yeah, Boston up there too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so everyone had those two teams to pick to, you know, be duking it out for the number one pick come this June. And look at, you know, Phoenix is surprising everyone. 17-10. They're playing exciting basketball. Eric Bledsoe is living up to the hype.
Yeah. Finally.
Well, when he was on the Clippers, everyone kept saying, when is Bledsoe going to get minutes, or when is he going to play for a team that actually puts him out there? And
yeah, well, I mean,
he had some injury issues, too, there, didn't he?
I mean, I think the biggest one was that he was playing behind Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, I think it was kind of like a James Harden situation. This is a great guy. He's ready to bust out, and he just needs to be put in the opportunity where he can play starters minutes and take a commanding role.
Right situation.
James Harden's done that with Houston.
Exactly. I mean, and even after that trade was made, nobody really thought that James Harden was going to come out and be the second best shooting guard in the league, maybe the first best.
Yeah, he might be the best.
Maybe the best now in the league. But remember, he played his first two games in Houston. He put up like 50 points and 45 points in his first two games. Something I'm not.
He took over some of those games in the playoffs for the Thunder, though.
Well, the thing about Harden, of course he did. The thing about Harden now, even when he's having an off night, he'll still find ways. Last night he hit 22 free throws. And only shot 9 shots before.
That's star call stuff too.
Yeah, that is. But getting that respect is still impressive.
When you get 20 to the line 11 times, you know, you got your
the refs are watching you. Who never gets calls.
Yeah.
Because he complains about them every time.
That's the thing. He does not realize that referees will call less fouls for you the more you bitch. And it's clear with Evan Turner.
Yeah, probably. You know,
and I don't blame him.
And I've actually seen that. I'm getting off. Not you getting me talking about Turner again. But I've seen that start to wear off a little bit on Michael Carter-Williams, and I don't like it.
Oh, boy.
Michael Carter-Williams will attack and not get the call and will stand there and flail his arms a little bit while his man is beating him down the court on the other end. And I'm telling you, it's because Evan Turner.
It's rubbing off.
We need to get him off the team.
Well, the All-Star break
soon. Get that flat-footed three-point shot off his team. I'm tired of looking at
it. When's the break? February? We only got another 2 months.
I'll tell you what's always impressed me about Evan Turner, though, is how he's consistently been able to lead the league in getting a shot blocked.
Yes.
It's been a great point.
Clean blocks, too.
Also, terrible facial hair this season. He stepped up his game in that arena. Yeah. He has horrible facial hair.
He's going for the Wolverine.
It's not working. It's this blotchy mess.
Looking like Hugh Jackman with a voice of Chewbacca.
Yeah, he looks like if you covered your face in like glue and then maybe rolled around in dirt.
Yeah,
it would look something like that.
Come on, ref, that was a foul.
He's a little bit more Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, he's definitely
more like this.
Yeah. He had an accident. There's a reason why he has that voice, right?
I don't think so.
No, there's definitely some reason.
People wouldn't make fun of it. People wouldn't make fun of it so much if he had a real.
No, that's the reason why people don't make fun of it.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, because no, dude, I'm telling you, look it up. Look it up.
I'm an asshole, I guess. I didn't know.
Because I used to make fun of him, and I feel like he was in a car accident or something.
I don't think so.
Because he has the worst, most corniest voice.
I know he had a ton of different illnesses and maladies in his childhood. He overcame a lot.
And we give him credit for that. He is, yes.
Yeah.
But
definitely
not. Remember when he was the number 2 pick? I remember just reading his NBA draft, his profile, and I remember the words, the most NBA ready player in the draft.
But may have peaked.
And elite mid-range game. Elite mid-range game.
Huh, wow.
You would think something like that would translate over to the NBA. If a guy can shoot in college from the mid-range...
Who was taking 3 and 4 that draft? That's what I because DeMarcus
Does
was
create
fifth.
A lot of.
Derek Favors was taken 3rd. Jesus. And Wesley Johnson.
Okay. I mean, what are you going to do in that draft? I mean, really?
Yeah.
Even John Wall at number 1.
I'm sure there's plenty of John Wall haters out there, too.
That may have been one of the worst drafts of all time.
Yeah.
It's a terrible
draft. That was a terrible draft.
Yeah, but you know who was taken 10th?
Paul George.
I remember when he got taken. I remember they're like, "Yeah, you know, he's got a lot of upside." They kept saying that.
Yeah. But that's. I feel like that honestly changed how a lot of people view.
Pacers always draft well, man. Ugh.
I think that's changed how a lot of people view the draft now because you know when people are looking at Andrew Wiggins because he's not performing great. You know, and this is a good segue if you want to talk about that.
Yeah.
People are talking about Andrew Wiggins. They see he's got the length, he's got the athleticism to be that kind of two-way player that Paul George is. And I think those are the things that people are looking for now as opposed to maybe in years past when they would look at skill, you know, overall skill level. And I think people really value athleticism now and see that and think this is upside.
Yeah, let's talk about
what I worry about Wiggins though. Do you think he's starting to like just buy into his own hype? And it doesn't seem like he has the killer instinct LeBron has.
That's exactly what we're talking about. Like what I was going to mention Parker looks like the guy who's NBA ready right now. Like, he definitely seems like he wants the ball, whereas Wiggins seems to be deferring a lot. Now, is that a question of the system he's playing in? Is that a character issue? Is that, you know what I mean? That kind of calls into question if there was a draft right now. Now, to me, I would feel more comfortable making the decision after the tournament, because right. That's when I feel like you really got to step up.
I mean, LeBron's been criticized for deferring too much to it in his career. But
exactly.
Lately, he's been taking.
We know now that LeBron, you know, will take over a game and he'll be that guy.
Yeah.
But can Wiggins grow into that guy? I wonder. I'm curious. Going back to the Pacers, how they always draft well. I wonder if there's a psychological profile that you can sort of narrow down a bit when in the scouting process where you feel, you know, you can be comfortable.
I actually think they have analytics for those now, and that's something that Hinkie is on. Mm-hmm. And I think they talked about that, you know, looking at those kind of things with Michael Carter Williams, like what, you know, doing things in clutch mm-hmm. situations, making winning plays.
Right.
But getting back to Wiggins, I've heard the argument that it's a system issue and Bill Self's offense.
Right.
And,
yeah, right.
And the guards aren't getting him the ball where he needs them. And I remember in the offseason when Wiggins said he was going to attend Kansas, the sales pitch that Self gave him was, I want you to play the role that Ben McLemore played for me mm-hmm. the previous year. And the funny thing is, if you look at Ben McLemore's stats uh-huh. to Wiggins' stats, they're nearly identical.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're very, very
similar. Ben McLemore looks great.
McLemore's doing nothing in the NBA right now.
No, he's not. He's
but that's because he plays for the Kings, right?
He shouldn't be getting minutes.
That's just the worst place to play.
Yeah,
I agree. I think he is starting now, but there's a lot of shot takers on the Kings with Isaiah Thomas and DeMarcus Cousins on that team. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if that, and now Rudy Gay. So I don't know where Ben McLemore
right,
is going to get.
Ben
McLemore is going to get those touches, but.
I guess Tyreek Evans put up numbers on that team a couple years ago.
Sure, as a rookie of the year, I thought.
Yeah,
he was rookie of the year, but he's fallen off. But
he's
actually,
from Chester.
He's had some injury issues, but he's playing well in as a six man role.
Is he? He's a six man.
Pelicans, but the contract is still too big.
Yep.
Yeah. Totally.
It's going to be very interesting to see. I think we know Wiggins and Parker are going to go 1-2. I would assume.
I would think.
There's a couple dark horse candidates in there. Joel Embiid is really starting to make some noise. People are saying. They're looking at his apparently for someone who's only been playing the game for
a few years.
Very developed footwork, uh-huh. which is something that Hakeem Olajuwon was praised for.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm not saying that's the name that they're starting to say. Hey, this guy could be the next Hakeem Olajuwon.
Jeez, there's never going to be another dream. Come on now, never.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, teams always want to go big if they can. It'll be interesting to see what he does. I've also watched Randle play, who looks fantastic.
He's
a true four. The issue, I think the only thing with him now is he very much favors the left. Mm-hmm. If he can get a two-hand game, he could dominate. Because, again, there's power forwards. We talked about LaMarcus Aldridge. It's him, Zigbo, Love. Like, there aren't that many, like, really good, true power forwards
Duncan.
In the league. Duncan.
You say he's a forward.
Blake Griffin, who's got a little bit better this year.
Oh yeah,
still doesn't rebound great or play defense great for his position. But offensively, you know, he's developed his game a little bit. Clippers are freaking fun to watch, man. I hope the Clippers go as far as possible in the Western Conference as they can. Just glad I can watch them play.
Yeah, DeAndre Jordan is. Whew.
They're gonna be better by the end of the year than they are now.
I agree. I agree. As they learn. Doc Rivers system and
they've had some injury problems. Guys like JJ Redick have been out. Hopefully they come.
That's right. Yeah, JJ's been hurt. JJ's been a much better professional than I think everybody expected.
Really good addition for the Clippers.
Yeah,
for sure.
There's been a lot of Duke players that just never did anything in the NBA or became like really just below average role players or average role players. Whereas JJ really found a niche.
It's funny how the type of professionalism and sort of basketball IQ. For Duke players really gets value. You look at guys like Shane Battier, mm-hmm. JJ Redick.
Yeah,
maybe they're role players in the NBA, but they're role players on championship caliber
teams.
Yeah,
it's true.
You know, or playoff contending teams.
And, yeah.
You know, and I think any GM in the league would tell you.
Have you guys watched Duke play this year?
For Jabari, yeah.
Yeah. Have you watched Duke play at all this year? Duke has an all-black starting lineup, which is so weird to me. They do have a Plumlee on that team, though. But it threw me off. I was like, I'm not sure, is this Duke or North Carolina? I couldn't figure out. Like, it was so weird to me to watch.
So what you're saying is they're going to go far in the tournament.
It's just funny because Duke always drafts these really, like, you know, cornstarch dudes, like, you know.
Yeah, high fructose corn syrup guys.
Yeah, exactly. Fake sugar guys. They get them.
Exactly. They can all shoot the lights out and play D. But yeah, this team's athletic. Rodney Hood's really good.
Yeah, I think Rodney Hood is a guy that is really flying under the radar right now. He's also putting up 20 points a game on his second on that Duke team in scoring. And he should be a lottery pick, too. He's a sophomore.
Yeah.
He's definitely another perimeter guy I think that's going to do well in the NBA and likely a lottery pick.
Have you guys watched Marcus Smart play at all?
Mm-mm. I watched him play a little bit. But
is he a two or a point?
I mean, he's playing the point.
Mm-hmm.
And he's what, 6'4"?
6'4", yeah. And he's got, and it looks like he's got an NBA body, too.
Yeah. He looks bulky.
Yeah.
You know, he looks like
he hits the weight room.
You could probably put him in either one. I'm not sure the Sixers would want him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Because he's not supremely athletic. I mean, that's my issue with him, is I don't want another Evan Turner guy that, you know.
Well, that's I think, the biggest
he's knock quit.
On, that's the biggest knock on Jabari Parker right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Incredibly advanced IQ. He's got all the skills. He's most NBA ready, but... Yeah, and he's certainly an athletic guy.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have that freakish athleticism.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys like Andrew Wiggins and
LeBron, Wade, Wiggins. Yeah, exactly. Those kind
of
guys.
This is one of those drafts. I mean, they're saying it's what the best draft in 25, 30
years.
Since the LeBron, Wade, Melo draft.
This is the best one.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be one of those drafts where there's going to be some teams kicking themselves in the ass. Because it is such a crapshoot. Even when it comes to all these great players, you look at the list of these guys here, and they already have a mock lottery, which is hilarious.
Do they have the mock lottery for like next year?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying right here. It's just, it's going to be such a crapshoot, especially depending on where the teams fall. I mean, I'm excited for it. I can't wait. I'm also terrified being a Sixers
Didn't
fan.
Didn't you say you couldn't wait for the season to be over?
I never wanted a season to just be over immediately.
Let's get to the draft.
I'm also terrified knowing the Sixers might have two top 10 picks. It's like, oh, okay.
I think you can, I mean, you say it's a crapshoot, though, but, you know, I think there are certain sure things. Wiggins is a sure thing. Jabari Park is a sure thing.
Julius Randle is a sure thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm psyched. But, you know, like when you said about Michael Carter-Williams being kept out, I really find it tough to watch the Sixers when he's not.
I agree. God, yes.
Yeah, really.
He's really the only reason I want to watch.
The kid is so damn mature. I mean, for a rookie, he's got balls. He's
22
got
or 23,
he's
though.
22.
How is that? What happened? Why is he older than most? Because he was sophomore?
JUCO, maybe? I don't know.
Did he play at JUCO?
He was a sophomore.
Yeah, but he's already 22.
But yeah, I don't really get how he's 22.
Yeah, but maybe he got held back.
Yeah, maybe he was redshirted a year.
So. No, he definitely wasn't redshirted. No. He definitely played his freshman year.
Okay.
Yeah. Either way, he's young enough, so I'm okay with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not like he's Chris Whedon or Brandon Whedon coming out of 26. That'd be a
26.
Yeah. 37-year-old rookie or whatever. Damian Lillard was a 4-year player.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's a small school.
But I would say, you know, I agree with the keeping Noel out the whole year. I'm okay with benching MCL as often as you need to make sure he's completely healthy. You know, because it's all about, like you said, you know, not just next year, the year after that. And the Sixers have a really good building block right now, I think, especially with Brett Brown. I mean, the guy's phenomenal.
Man, Aaron Gordon fell off this top the mock lottery. I thought he was, when he came into school, they were projecting him to be in the top 10. I don't even see him in this top 14.
A lot can change.
Yeah,
we got 6 months.
The knock on him is that he's a tweener. Is he a three? Is he a four? Doesn't have the ball handling, jump shot ability of a small forward. Doesn't quite have the size of a power forward, but he's got the athleticism. And I feel like that kind of thing always hurts your stock.
That's true. People don't really like tweeners. Mm-hmm. That's definitely true.
Evan Turner.
Yep. The thing about Evan Turner is he just needs the ball so much, you know. Not to talk about Evan Turner too much.
Nah, we've done enough of that.
So, going to the Eastern Conference, and you mentioned it, you know, is there really any reason to think that anybody can take out the Pacers or the Heat? I don't think so, right? Anybody in the Eastern Conference playing for anything other than draft position.
Just to say to their fan base, hey, we made the playoffs.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, the only team that I really think, you know, had the firepower would be the Knicks or the Nets. Just you know, and that's if everything goes right.
Yeah, exactly.
Which clearly isn't going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen.
I mean, Teague and Atlanta can lead that team to do maybe a few wins.
But how is it? I mean, that team, yeah, they replaced Josh Smith with Paul Millsap, you know, and Joe Johnson isn't on that team anymore, but they're the same team.
Yeah.
They still got Al Horford playing.
They might be able to win one or two of a series.
I wish Al Horford could play four all the time.
You know, they're the third best team in the East. That's not that's really not saying much. And they're the only other team that has a winning record. But not, they're, you know, at best the second round playoff team. They're not going anywhere.
I think it's pretty cut and dry with the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, yeah.
It's gonna be a cakewalk until the finals.
Western Conference Finals, who you guys got? Who's coming out of the West? Who does it look like it's going to be in the West? It's going to be OKC, Portland. Who do you guys think? Just early impressions. What do you think?
Clippers, OKC.
Clippers, OKC?
Yeah. I think Clippers will pull it together and get there. I think OKC has proven that they're there. I think that the Trailblazers need another year or two for Lillard to become, like, you know, what I think he will become.
I don't think they're going to be the West. Not there just yet. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think OKC and the Spurs.
Okay. Wow, the Spurs again.
If there's one thing I've learned, right. is that never count out
San Antonio.
You cannot do it.
And it looked like Ginobili was toast last year, and he looks like he's playing okay this year.
He's playing.
I thought he was done. Right. I thought he was cooked.
Duncan is playing great.
Yeah.
Tony Parker is at the top of his game. I mean.
Yeah, still.
You know, nobody talks about them because we're accustomed to greatness.
To
from
thinking
them.
They're just too old. Every year we think that.
Yeah, I don't. I'm sure. And look for Popovich to pluck some other vet that's been sitting around working out. Yeah, and some guy that's Boris Diaz playing great minutes.
Yeah, what in the world is that about?
I never count out the Spurs and the Clippers. You know, sure they could be up there. The Trailblazers. The I don't know. I was hoping the Warriors, but
yeah.
You know, until they prove it to me that they can take it as far as it looks like the Grizzlies.
What's the Warriors' deal, real quick? The guys, are they just too soft? What's their deal?
You live by the three, you die by the three.
Yeah, just too many jumpers.
I don't know. I mean, you know, Iggy's been hurt, and maybe they don't quite have their rotation set yet. They could still make plenty of noise.
Do they still go to the finals?
And if I'm going to live by the three, die by the three, I want to live by the three.
You want to have Steph 45% from three,
And play the whole Splash Brother game.
I went to the Sixers game where they played the Warriors, and Iggy hit like six threes, and I was like, where was that?
More threes than he hit in 9 years.
Exactly.
Iguodala's behind the jump in the middle of the air behind the back assist.
Yeah, that was pretty.
David Lee.
That was pretty. That was at that game. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's probably I can't pick. That's going to be the pass of the year. That was so beautiful. He did it just because he was in the because he didn't need to catch. He didn't need to jump up in the air and catch that pass. He just caught it. Uh-huh. Passed it.
Yep.
But you know, he just wanted to do one little thing just to be like, hey, remember I used to play here. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty good at basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Johnny? What's conference finals you got?
Barring injury, I agree. I think it's hard to go against OKC and the Spurs. I'd like to see the Rockets give them a bit of a fight, but
we didn't even talk about the Rockets.
It's Popovich, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, Popovich is just
Pop knows how to coach.
And plus, you know, when is Dwight going to prove something in the playoffs? Let's see what happens.
Yeah, until he can hit free throws, that team's in trouble when it comes down to the last few minutes.
Yippers.
Absolutely. I would probably agree with you guys. Definitely OKC. I think I would love to see the Clippers get there, man. And I would. Can anybody beat? Let's say the Pacers beat the Heat somehow. Do they win the finals? Do they beat somebody who comes out of the West?
I think whoever wins the Eastern Conference Finals wins the finals.
You think they're going to win the whole thing?
Actually, I disagree with you there. I think if the Heat win, then I think you got to take the Heat.
Right.
But if the Pacers somehow upset them. Mm-hmm. I think OKC is going to come out of the West. I think OKC.
I think this might be the year OKC finally wins.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't think anyone could beat the Pacers this year. Not even the Heat, to be honest with you.
You think?
Really?
You're picking the Pacers.
You're on the Pacers bandwagon. I like that. I like that a little.
They got the muscle.
Yeah. I just remember watching the game, you know, the other week when it was Pacers Heat. Remember always, like, you know, previously thinking, like, watching the Heat and being like, man, this is unfair, like, with these guys. And I remember I felt that way about the Pacers. I was like, this is unfair how good they are. It's unfair to any other team in the league. And they were playing the Heat. So that's my gauge.
They're really good, one to five. And on the bench.
Yeah, we have Luis.
People forget about David West, too. David West is good. West will kill you, especially when you need a bucket. You know,
dude's like Luis Scola coming up. What is he? Yeah, he's like their seventh man.
He's only getting 19 minutes a game. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I think if you look at the experience factor definitely plays a role in the playoffs. And OKC's already been to the finals. They've already tasted that. They've been to the top of the mountain. Pacers haven't quite been there yet. Paul George, as great as he is, Kevin Durant's better. And I'll take Kevin Durant over Paul George.
That's true.
And I think
KD's still the second best player.
And OKC's a really good defensive team, and they don't have the same, like, Hibbert's a dominant force in there, and especially dominant against the Heat. He won't be as effective against OKC, not with guys like Ibaka and Perk out there.
Perkins is cooked to me. I think they need to trade for another center.
Perkins gets ragged on a lot because he's so limited offensively, but he serves a role.
Still, I feel like his defensive days were done, like, capped off when he was in Boston.
I mean, even if Perkins isn't having a good game, they got Nick Collison off the bench. Nick Collison is... Steve Adams, the rookie, is playing well.
Is he?
Yeah, he's playing well.
I thought that was a decent pick. I don't know he was getting run.
He's playing well. He's got some skill.
Yeah, he's decent. All right, boys, let's call out a show. Anybody got any shout-outs, any more links, or anything? Anybody else they want to, you know, throw a shout-out to?
Go Knicks.
Go Sixers. Lose.
Exactly.
Sixers lose every game, but MCW for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Sure.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
And Evan Turner. Look, other teams, he's a good
come on, guys.
Player, man.
You know what Evan Turner.
You know, look, you want him, man. He can do things.
Yeah.
He can do some things for you. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for being a part of the show. And everybody, thanks for listening. We will definitely talk to you soon. Again, follow us at Official Review. We'll do another show like this again. And hopefully we'll get Johnny in town and do another show before too long. Take it easy, guys. Peace.
3 seconds left. At least it's for three.
Partnership for a healthier America. Hey, yo, it's time for us to pass the rock. Hey, yo, it's time for us to pass the rock. Yo, it's like 8 in the morning, feeling my best. Straight to the gym, a little bicep chest. Let her hit the bar, 10 sets, no less. Excellent body, thanks to P90X. Looks like a razor, hit me all over. Six pack intact, back in my shoulder. I don't really care what nobody done told you.